We're going to be talking today about body armor. Body armor. Before, though, we begin, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless our study this morning. Father in heaven, as we do open up your word again and we talk about spiritual body armor, we pray earnestly for your Holy Spirit to help us to understand how these things apply personally to us. And help us to determine by your grace that we are going to draw closer and closer to you and put on that spiritual armor that we need so badly. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. On January of 7th, 2006, there was an article in the New York Times. It was a Pentagon study linking the fatalities of many of the American soldiers to the frailty of the body armor that they were given when they went to war in Iraq. Now let me read the story to you, the article. And I quote, "A secret Pentagon study has found that as many as 80% of the Marines that have been killed in Iraq from wounds to the upper body could have survived if they had been given better body armor. Such armor had been available since 2003. But until recently, the Pentagon had largely declined to supply it to the troops, despite calls from the field for better protection. According to military officials, the vulnerability of the military body armor has been known since the start of the war." In other words, they knew before they sent our troops to the battlefield that there was a defect in their body armor. It was not up to par, but they sent the troops in anyway. 805 of the casualties could have been prevented if they had been given the better body armor. The soldiers knew it and begged for better armor, but the leaders prevented them having this better armor. I don't know why. And this is a part of a series of problems that have surrounded the protection of American troops on the battlefield. Now, let's switch gears. Let me please use some critical thinking here concerning our Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm telling you today that there will be less spiritual fatalities in the Adventist Church if pastors were giving their members better spiritual armor. Friends, Satan is known from the beginning of the spiritual war that anybody that's not covered with the whole armor of God is covered with false armor. If there is anything we need in these last days, it is better spiritual body armor. My hope today is that all pastors, all Seventh-day Adventist pastors, will hear the cry of their members for better and stronger sermons that will prepare them for the Lord Jesus coming. Now, when I've left my field of labor, I've often wondered what would happen to the members after I was gone. Because I hear from so many members saying, we're hungry. We're starving for spiritual food. We have to listen to certain independent ministries if we want to hear good, solid scriptural sermons. We want better spiritual body armor. But our pastors and leaders are just not listening. My friends, God is going to hold us pastors and leaders accountable if we put our members into the battlefield for the Lord without giving them the spiritual armor they need to withstand the attacks of the enemy. The weakness of the armor must be a focal point of anyone called to be a soldier in God's army. And we are all called to be a soldier in God's army, are we not? Now, the most intense war to face this planet is in the planning stages. And if you think it's bad now, just wait. The battle plan that's being put together by the forces of Satan will erase the memory of all battles that have ever been fought. The final showdown between good and evil is directly on the horizon. Just listen now to how the spirit of prophecy describes it. And I quote, "A terrible conflict is before us. We are nearing the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That which has been held in control is to be let loose. The earth is to be the battlefield, the scene of the final contest, and the final victory. Here, where for so long Satan has led men against God, rebellion is to be forever suppressed. I am so thankful. Friends, God is going to win. Satan is going to lose. The devil knows he has but a short time and is pulling out every stop, hoping to somehow keep us unprepared for the final showdown between truth and error. If ever there were a time that we need to have the best spiritual armor, it's today. The devil has some very sharp bullets, but they will never penetrate the Word of God. Carry the Bible in your heart. The psalmist said, Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. My friends, the only protection that you need today is having God's word, not on your shelf, but in your heart and mind, and practiced out in your life, day by day. This is so important, for the Apostle Paul tells us that we are up against the cunning deception of the enemy. You see, the devil uses whatever he can to refocus our attention away from that which are the issues to that which is not the issue. He does that in church sometimes, by causing our minds to wander off in other areas instead of keeping our thoughts and our focus on the message. My friend, Satan is using complex, elaborate plans to take us down. And he is succeeding in many areas against God's people. His plans are to get us to fall into a trap that will result in our destruction. Subterfuge, scams, trickery, and deception are aimed at the commandment-keeping church. And this little church has seen plenty of it. And many are becoming casualties because they actually prefer false armor. You hear what I said? Let me share some insights on how to detect false armor, and let me begin by saying that one of the evidences that your armor is false is not to teach doctrine. But if you use the Bible, the word doctrine is simply another word for teaching. The only way a church cannot teach doctrine is if they have deleted the use of the Word of God altogether. Now please turn to 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. There it says, Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, are we living in the latter times? In the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. My friends, one way Satan introduces false doctrines is under the disguise of non-denominationalism. Let's think about this for a moment. There is no such thing as non-denominationalism. When a church says it is non-denominational and claims to use the Bible, you had better head for the hills because it's a subterfuge and a hoax and a scam. You cannot be a Christian church and not claim some denomination. Let me give you an illustration. Robert Schuller's Crystal Cathedral claimed to be non-denominational, but in his church bulletin, it said, While we are a non-denominational congregation, we teach the doctrines of the Holy Catholic Church. My friends, there is no such thing as non-denominationalism. Now let's look at 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 and 39. 1 Samuel 17 Verses 38 and 39. There it basically says, So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. Well, David strapped on a sword and tried to walk around, but he was not used to wearing those things. And he said, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. David said, I have not tested them. So David took off the armor. My friends, it's time to take off some of the things that have not been tested by the Word of God. If the message does not pass the test of Scripture, do not put it on. These days, the church is bringing all kinds of things into it. And that's why the Apostle Paul says to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. For you see, some of our pastors and leaders are trying to remold Adventists into lukewarm Protestants so we can be fully accepted by other denominations. Some of you are well aware of that. Now let me give you an illustration. In November 2014, that's just 5 years ago, a number of our union papers carried this ad. Andrews University, that's where it was, Andrews University. Andrews University seeks a seminary New Testament faculty member. Qualified person should have a doctoral degree in the area of New Testament studies and textual criticism, preferably from a non-Adventist university. Now, I want to ask you, why would one of our colleges request to have a professor that has been trained in a non-Adventist university? Just think about that. Now, another way to know if your armor is false is in accepting a repackaged lie. One of those lies is neopaganism, which is a claim to being spiritual while not being scriptural. Have you had that happen before? I've had that happen many times. That's why the Apostle Paul says, in the last days there will be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and from such turn away. If it is not supported by God's word, it is a repackaged lie. My friends, the repackaged lie teaches that in spite of your choices, you will not surely die. Isn't that what the devil told Eve? But the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. The repackaged lie says that no matter what you choose to do, you will not surely die. Every time someone dies, where do people say they are? In heaven. Elvis is in heaven with Michael Jackson. Another repackaged lie is when you're taught that your beliefs and my beliefs, although very different basically, biblically, are going to result in salvation for both of us. Doesn't matter what you believe. This is how the walls between denominations are being broken down. Your beliefs and my beliefs must be in harmony with God's word if they will result in salvation for us both. Another repackaged lie is when you fall for the idea that all that matters is that we love Jesus. You've heard that many times. They say it doesn't matter what we believe as long as we love the Lord. But remember what Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. The Lord also says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7:21. My friends, you cannot close your eyes and ears to the directions God has given you and say, I'm going to end up in heaven anyhow. I hear that so much, not from Seventh-day Adventists per se, but from others. Isaiah 4:1, speaking of the last days, says, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. Now listen carefully. Seven women, seven churches. We will eat our own bread. We have our own way of feeding ourselves. In other words, we have our own doctrine or our own bread. We have our own apparel or our own standard of righteousness. All we want from you, Lord, is the name Christian. If we can get the label, the world won't look at us with reproach. Now let me tell you something, my friends. The world knows what Christians ought to do. Some people don't realize that wherever they go, God has a cloud of witnesses continually watching them. We read about that in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Paul says we have a cloud of witnesses always watching. If you love the Lord, you will follow His instructions. Illustration. You may love to drive on long trips, but if you don't follow the turn-by-turn directions, you will be lost. You can drive, but you must follow the instructions given to you. Now, the good news is, if we are going in the wrong direction, God allows U-turns. And how many of us were heading in the wrong direction at one time? And God gave us a U-turn. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, whenever you turn to the right or you turn to the left. You see, friends, God wants to make sure we make our final destination heaven. Third way a person can know if they're wearing false armor is blurred distinctions. Now, let's use the analogy of a professional camera. In photography, you can blur a sharp picture, but you cannot sharpen a blurred picture. Are you ready for some strong food? Are you really? Well, I'm going to give you just a little bit. It's getting blurry when the message and priorities of the remnant church are indistinguishable from the message and priorities of the nominal churches of the world. And it's getting blurry when the commandment-keeping Christian starts dressing like the world. A young woman comes to church dressed like the world, and a young man comes to church wanting to think about Jesus. The moment he sees that young woman, he cannot think about Jesus. Something is wrong. I'm not going to go any further than that. I tell young men and women that they should be careful of what they watch on television. Maybe the TV can be a temptation, but a person should not come to church being tempted when they try to worship God. It's getting even more blurry when Sabbath morning sermons sound like Sunday morning sermons. It's getting blurry when evolution is taught in some Adventist institutions. It's getting blurry when the emerging church is pushing the abandonment of denominational labels and calling themselves a conversation. My friends, the demolition of the Bible-based Christian is gaining momentum. Satan is seeking to demolish the Bible-based churches. I pray we will never allow that to happen here at Three Angels Church. If you're Bible-based, it's almost getting to the place where you are irrelevant and you don't count. All you have to do is listen to the news. You're out of step. If you're a Bible-based Christian, you're out of step with everyone. It's getting blurry when spiritual formation and contemplative prayer suggest that I look within myself to find spiritual peace. Now, when I look within myself, I remember what the Apostle Paul says. In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Romans 7:18. Friends, I cannot find my peace when I look within myself. It's getting blurry when unbiblical women's ordination is discussed with more passion than evangelism. All this time wasted on the topic of women's ordination is keeping our eyes off the warning, the world, that Jesus is coming soon. That should be our primary focus. All of our energies should be geared to that. My friends, when you're called to present this message, you don't need a badge or a certificate of ordination to be used by God. You need the Holy Spirit. Sometimes amidst all these issues, I can almost hear Jesus saying, I want my church back. Listen, friends, if the message is not clear, the deception is not identifiable. That's why Paul says, for if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? They were called to battle by the trumpet sound. And it was a certain sound that called them to battle. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8. My friends, it is too late to be blurry about what we are about. Stand for what is right and what is true. Don't be afraid of the devil and his evil angels. The closer we get to the Lord's coming, our messages need to get sharper and sharper and sharper. People will become Adventist Christians when we faithfully preach the straight testimony of God's holy word and live it out day by day in our lives. I repeat, it is too late to be blurry. The word of God is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Remember this, a sharp sword will cut away a blurry message. Another evidence of false armor is this. When Christian leaders and Christian organizations yoke themselves with unbiblical pagan groups and movements which set the followers up for synsithesis, that means combining, syncretism, that means a fusion of two or more forms of belief, and compromise of a doctrines, if they do that, they are putting on false armor. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, Paul says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he was not just talking about marriage. He goes on to say, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? You see, my friends, since God warns against being unequally yoked, it is Satan's plans to create an unequally yoked connection between those who do not believe the biblical truth and those who do believe biblical truth. And when we align ourselves with those who do not believe biblical truth, it never results in their becoming converted. It never does. In fact, you may yourself stray from the path unless you are so strong and anchored that they cannot bend your convictions. In most cases when there is a unity between darkness and light, darkness wins. Darkness wins. That is the kind of world in which we live in today. Now please turn to 1 Samuel 28, verses 7 through 10. 1 Samuel 28, verses 7 through 10. This is a powerful analogy of how this works and how Satan is accomplishing it and how it is affecting the church that God loves so dearly. 1 Samuel 28:7-10 states, then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium. Now in prophecy, a woman represents a church. Find me a woman that's a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there's a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself, put on other garments, and he and two men with him came to the woman by night. And Saul said, please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life and cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Now, let's look at three things that we can extract from this. Saul hid his identity, received his demonic aid, and then promised divine protection to a satanic representative. Just think about this. A professed follower of God hid his identity, received demonic aid, and then promised divine protection to a satanic representative. My friends, false preachers are just like King Saul. They preach messages received from a satanic source, and many churches are the medium for Satan. Their message is not from above, but from beneath. And Satan uses a preacher to twist and tweak the scriptures to proclaim a message that's not from God. Paul describes it this way in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now, my friends, the devil is not dumb. Some people think he wears a red cape and that he only shows up on jars of hot sauce and that he only comes out once a year during Halloween. That's a lie. The devil, when he appeared to the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, appeared as a beautiful prince. You see, he was a created being who lost his former estate, but he still maintained some of his powerful gifts that God had given to him when he was an obedient angel. And the very gifts he had in glory are the very tools that he now uses to accomplish the dilution and the breakdown of Christianity in these last days. One of the other ways you can see if you are unequally yoked is if you fall for something called the Hegelian dialect or the Hegelian concept. The Hegelian concept is a merging of two opposing views in order to give birth to a third view. When you see how this works, you'll find it amazing. This is what politicians do. They will go to a community that does not like gun violence, and they'll say, I'm against gun ownership. And then they will go to another community that supports the Second Amendment of the Constitution, which gives a right to gun ownership, and say, we support the Second Amendment. And then both communities who have opposing views will vote for the same man, believing that he supports their opinion. You see, the politician will change his message to appeal to both groups so he can accomplish his end result, which is to get their vote. This is a double-tongued message. And this is what the devil has done. He emerges two opposing views to give birth to a third one. He is very clever. And another way he does it is by using Christian words. He uses Christian words and rock music to create a third category, Christian rock. Since when did Christian and rock music share the same platform? Go to iTunes and check it out. Put in Christian music and see what will come up. You'll find these categories, Christian contemporary, Christian rock, Christian jazz, Christian acid, Christian rhythm and blues, and Christian hip-hop. If you stop with the word Christian, you're safe. But the devil has used this very same art to merge things together that in the eyes of God are opposed to one another. The Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Isaiah 5, verse 20. This is exactly what's happening in the church today. Are you aware of the fact that the devil knew 20 years ago that most Adventists would never leave the Adventist church? Most. And you know why? It was because they valued the Bible Sabbath and our doctrinal position. So he said, since they will not leave because of the message, I'll get them to compromise and build a bridge through music. My friends, many will attend church today and go to a rock concert tomorrow. Now let me encourage you, my friends. There's a lot of good music in Christianity. But the most important song that I personally want to sing is a song of Moses and the Lamb, while I'm standing on the sea of glass. I want to sing that song. Friends, stand firmly and be faithful to what God has given to you in His Word and in the Spirit of prophecy. Also, have you noticed that the devil, what he's doing in the movies? He has produced a movie called Noah, as most of you know. People see in that movie an angry Noah that was fighting against a God that hated people and wanted to kill them all. That's many people's concept of Noah. Now, there's another movie called The Exodus. And let me say right here, I have not seen any of them. I have the true version right here. And then we have the movie Heaven is for Real. Heaven is for real. We believe that. But we don't go to heaven, right to heaven, when we die. And if you would go, you're not coming back. And if I go to heaven, do you think I would want to come back to this place? Not at all. And if the devil has not gotten enough mileage off of Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins' Left Behind books, he has taken Nicolas Cage, a popular actor, and introduced into the movie theater the new Left Behind. Do you know what's really been left behind in the Left Behind series? The truth. The truth has been left behind. If you want to know the truth, read God's Word. Read the Bible. That'll give you the truth. Now, friends, if you are admiring any popular religious leader, any politician or talk show celebrity that leads you away from following Christ and His Word, you are covered with false armor. Now, let me close with some good counsel. Don't abandon scriptural integrity for political correctness. So many people are doing that today. Don't abandon Christ-centered preaching for the prosperity gospel. Don't abandon godly living for good feeling. Don't settle for publications without inspiration. If you want inspiration, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Believe in the Lord, so shall you be established. Believe in His prophets, so shall you prosper. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. My friends, it is not possible to prepare for the final battle when your leader is orchestrating your destruction. As a pastor, I want to make sure your blood is not on my hands. I want my hands to be clean. For the battle that came to Jesus is coming to you and to me. All of us, we're not going to escape. You must make a commitment to seek the Lord with all your heart and be faithful in church attendance. You know the devil is very faithful. He is represented in every church service. Every church service. Be it Vespers, be it prayer meeting, or wherever it is. The devil is represented there. We certainly ought to be able to do at least as good as the devil. Friends, it is time to abandon the false armor in favor of God's armor found in Ephesians 6, verse 13 through 17. Don't just sing it. Live it. Don't just talk it. Walk it. Don't wait for the coming of the Lord. Work for the coming of the Lord. Don't just be a Seventh-day Adventist. Be an Adventist every day of the week. Don't settle for just being in the congregation. Be in Christ. For the night is far spent. The day is at hand. You want to be resurrected on that glorious day. I do. I want to be raised to see Jesus coming in His glory. Anyone who wants to see Jesus come in His glory needs to put off all the false armor and make sure you're putting on the true armor. As we think about that, let us pray. Father in heaven, I know the message today was quite strong at times. But dear Lord, as I look at Jesus, Your precious Son, and some of the messages that He taught, very, very strong. He loves us so much as You do. You don't want to see us be lost. So Lord, help us not to soft pedal the Word of God. Help us to be honest and true and faithful and gentle and kind and loving as we teach Thy Word. Please forgive us for failing you in the past, and help us to surrender all to you now. And from this moment on, may we walk closely with you, not doubting your word in any way. Help us, Lord, we pray, because we ask it in the name of our blessed Jesus. Amen.